On February 14, 2008, a man named Stephen Kazmierczak opened fire on the campus of Northern Illinois University in DeKalb, Illinois. He killed 5 people and injured 21 before committing suicide. The following day, Barack Obama, the junior senator from the state and a candidate for president, was asked about the shooting at a news conference. In light of this tragedy, what did Obama think about the need for gun control, especially as it related to the Second Amendment? The Second Amendment states, "A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed." There was and remains unanimous agreement that the text of the amendment is ungrammatical. For more than a century, there was also agreement on what the Second Amendment meant. According to this understanding, the Second Amendment related only to the rights of citizen militias and imposed no barrier to gun control. In other words, the amendment did not give private individuals a right to bear arms. Obama had a different view. "I believe that the Second Amendment means something. I do think it speaks to an individual right," Obama said at his news conference following the massacre. "There's been a long-standing argument among constitutional scholars about whether the Second Amendment referred simply to militias or whether it spoke to an individual right to possess arms. I think the latter is the better argument," he went on. "There is an individual right to bear arms, but it is subject to common-sense regulation, just like most of our rights are subject to common-sense regulation. And so, I think there's a lot of room before you start bumping up against a constitutional barrier." Even a few years earlier, Obama's comments would have seemed bizarre. Since a Supreme Court case called United States v. Miller in 1939, hundreds of courts had rejected the individual rights view of the Second Amendment. But then, the National Rifle Association, the Republican Party, and their allies invested their time, money, and energy in creating a new understanding of the Second Amendment. Indeed, at the time of Obama's news conference about the massacre, the Supreme Court was preparing to decide District of Columbia v. Heller, a product of this long effort to create a new interpretation of the Second Amendment. The work of conservatives to change the accepted meaning of the framers' words was so successful that the recruits to the cause came to include the Chicago liberal who was a leading contender to be the Democratic nominee for president. This, it turns out, was no surprise. Obama was an unusually well-credentialed lawyer. His life as a public figure began in 1990 when he was 28 and won election as president of the Harvard Law Review, the first African-American to hold that position. Obama practiced law for a dozen years and taught at the University of Chicago Law School for nearly as long. But by the time he ran for president, Obama was above all a politician, and a cautious one. Obama admired the heroes of the civil rights movement, including the lawyers, but he did not model his career on theirs. Obama did not believe the courts were the principal vehicle for social and political change. Elections, rather than lawsuits, were his battlefield of choice, and by 2008, he knew that the way to win the presidency was, in part, to embrace the individual rights theory of the Second Amendment. Near the end of his memoir, Dreams from My Father, which he published when he was 33, Obama reflected on his education at Harvard Law School. His tone was ambivalent. "The study of law can be disappointing at times, a matter of applying narrow rules and arcane procedure to an uncooperative reality, a sort of glorified accounting that serves to regulate the affairs of those who have power, and that all too often seeks to explain, to those who do not, the ultimate wisdom and justness of their condition." Then, in a gesture that was common in the book and in Obama's character, he gave the other side of the story. "But that is not all the law is," he continued. "The law is also memory. The law also records a long-running conversation, a nation arguing with its conscience." Obama's conversation with himself continued. "How far do our obligations reach? How do we transform mere power into justice, mere sentiment into love. The answers I find in law books don't always satisfy me. For every Brown v. Board of Education, I find a score of cases where conscience is sacrificed to expedience or greed. As before, though, Obama followed that despairing remark with a hopeful one. And yet, in the conversation itself, in the joining of voices, I find myself modestly encouraged, believing that so long as the questions are still being asked, what binds us together might somehow, ultimately, prevail.